With that, we'll move on to number 10. Carrie Richards, our grants coordinator, is with us to give us the LWCF 2026 apportionment and project selection presentation.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, members of the Commission, and Secretary Roebling. My name is Carrie Richards, and I am the grants administrator for the Parks Division at Game Fish and Parks, and I manage the federal grant programs like LWCF, RTP, and Coast Guard programs for our division. Today I'm going to be talking to you about or giving you an update on our Land and Water Conservation Fund program and let you know how we're spending those federal dollars. The Land and Water Conservation Fund is a federal program that's established by Congress back in 1965. Its purpose is to provide funding to states to support the preservation and development of outdoor recreation across the United States. The primary funding of this program is from federal oil and gas leases on the Outer Continental Shelf. Funding earned from the extraction of offshore oil and gas is redirected to support the programs throughout the states. The state of South Dakota has, I looked it up this morning, has received about $61 million from this program since its inception. So, been able to do a lot of things with those funds. Our apportionment this year is $3.6 million. This is about a 31% increase to last year's apportionment. This is because, according to their letter, it's due to increased mandatory funding, release of previously sequestered funds, additional qualifying revenues, and some contingency money that they redistributed. It's all calculated based on population of each individual state, so based on South Dakota's population, we get that percentage of the overall funds. We have right now about $1.7 million worth of projects that we're preparing and getting ready to begin in the next year after the new year. Those projects are already in our state budget. We're preparing for them. We're working on the clearances and permitting and all of those things needed to have those projects begin. Because our apportionment was so much higher this year than we anticipated, we didn't have all of the money budgeted from LWCF, so we have $570,000 set aside for future projects. Those are just projects that we're still working on planning for, we're still working on permitting and clearances for. If we get all of that done in the next year, we'll start them if we're able. If not, they'll just begin the following year. But we do have that funds allocated to specific projects. So that brings the total LWCF funding to $2.3 million for state projects that we have planned to start next year. That leaves almost $1,973,000 that we've allocated to cities and local communities to be able to apply for complete projects in their communities to have that partnership with the communities in South Dakota. And then finally, we have $304,000 in carryover. This is simply on our line item so that if any of the projects that we have budgeted and have put in place, if they become, if we have to make changes to either the project scope or prices come in higher, we have some funds available to make those changes. Or if we simply have a project come up that's a little more urgent that we don't have the time to wait for in one of our parks, we have that available to spend as well. So that's available there. If we don't spend it, then it's going to be allocated to 2027 projects. The state park projects that we have, this is the list. We'll be making an impact at 10 state parks and rec areas this coming year. It's a mixture of roads, camping cabins, playgrounds, comfort stations, and general operational improvements needed to facilitate all of those outdoor recreation. As Pat had mentioned, a lot of our projects, we do use employee labor to complete these projects, saving us some money and allowing us to spread that those federal dollars further. And we can even use their state salaries and as the match that we are required for this program. So it saves us on those projects. And then these are the four projects that we have designated and allocated the money for future projects. They're ones that we are still working on finalizing plans for, or who's going to do things, and then the permitting necessary to complete those projects. Again, like I mentioned, if we get that stuff done ahead of time, we can begin work ahead of time. We just weren't prepared to have that extra funding available. So those are our four future projects. The application for the cities and local governments to apply opens in January every year with a deadline in April. Historically, this application has been a Word document that cities will complete and then mail in copies to our office. It will be digital this year. Cities will be able to complete that online, and I don't have to read through every line item and sort them. It'll be a smoother process for us to go through all of those applications. The eligibility for those that can apply are cities and local governments and nonprofit organizations. Applications are received and then they're reviewed based on how they meet our open selection process that is matched to our SCORP that we have to update every 5 years. Historically 5 years, we're switching to a 10-year SCORP per the federal government. And whether or not they meet our division's priorities and our department's priorities for outdoor recreation. The cities, along with the state projects, when we complete them, do have to have a 50% match to the federal funds that are provided to us. So it's a 50-50 program. Some stats on this year's applications. We had 35 applications from cities this year. The number of applications we had last year was 24, so more cities applying for this funding, and hoping that with an easier digital application that we can even get more applications next year, create some more work for me, but get more applications. Of those, we awarded 12 of those applicants. The total funding requests of those 35 was about $5.8 million. With an average ask of $167,000. Obviously, we can't award all of them, so we reviewed them through our office at different levels with final decision coming from the seniority in Game Fish and Parks, and selected the breakdown of 12 applications you can see in that pie graph, trying to get some variety in what we have and not be completely the playground grant, but spread some outdoor recreation. And then finally, on the last slide, we awarded $973,000 in federal funds to these 12 cities. The 12 applications that were awarded are listed on this screen with some quick details of each project. Those letters were sent out this week to all of those 12 cities and the other applicants that unfortunately were not selected, along with additional notice to those cities so that they could hear firsthand and if they didn't get the letter prior to today's meeting. So they're very excited to get going on those projects. We will now start working with the cities and our clearances and permitting person to complete all of the federally required NEPA, tribal, SHPO historical permits and clearances that we need to complete prior to them breaking ground. So, and any questions?
Very good. Thank you, Carrie. Any questions from the commission? Commissioner Bartling.
Thank you, Commissioner Bartling. Thank you, Carrie. What is the match that the city or the county or whoever is the local awardee has to come up with?
Madam Chair, it is 50-50. So, 50-50. Yep, 50% okay. City dollars, 50% federal match. That can come from their own budget or it can come through private donations that they have as long as the city themselves is providing that 50% match somehow. So,
a follow-up, can that be in-kind as well?
In-kind yes.
Work provided from
yep.
the community itself or something
yes.
like that? Thank you.
Commissioner White.
Thank you. Again, Commissioner White here. How are the communities be made aware of the funding available for these projects?
Through the chair. We send out notices to the municipality list that is provided by the Municipality League. It goes out to all the planning districts okay. to then help facilitate those through their through the planning districts. A lot of cities will work with their planning district to complete the application and then directly to anybody that's asked to be on an additional list to apply.
So my understanding is that every community has the opportunity to participate.
Correct.
Thank you.
Commissioner Teal.
Thanks, Carrie. Commissioner Teal here. Real quick, I was just curious, if somebody applies and is not selected, do they resubmit the following year if they were like trying to submit the exact same plan? And do we keep that on file and give them a little bit of preference that moving forward in those following years?
I do keep track of that. And most of the cities, if they don't reply or they don't receive funding, they will ask me for feedback on their application. So those that have taken feedback and improved their application, that will improve their chances of being funded. If they're consistently submitting an application that's below par, that probably isn't going to get funded. So if they've improved their application. The Bridgewater one is an example of that. They had applied for several years and then updated their and improved their application greatly, and they're on the award list this year.
Thank you.
Additional questions from the commission? Carrie, I have just a couple. You had mentioned that we got an increase this year,
mm-hmm.
and it funding is decided on population.
Mm-hmm.
So where is it, do we have is has our population increased? Why the increase in funding?
The funding was not increased because of our population, because of a population increase. That's just how it's calculated. It was increased because previously requested funds were released. There was contingency reserve distribution, and then there was increased mandatory funding in that program. So it was a number of other reasons that were noted in the allocation letter. And then once that was all put into a pot, they used the traditional population formula.
Okay, very good. And then second, did you indicate that the application period is January through April?
Yes.
So then folks can start reapplying just starting next month. And do
yes.
they get those funds for 2026 or will those go into 2027?
The folks that apply in January through April next year, they'll be awarded hopefully earlier than this time of year next year, since I'll have more than 1 year under my belt. But they'll be notified in the late summer fall of awards, and then we begin clearances process, and they're actually released the funding or the ability to spend the following April, so April in 27.
Okay, that helps me. Very good. Thank you. Additional questions from the commission? Seeing none, we appreciate that. Good presentation.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yep, thanks.
And I'm going to just quickly